2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. Jeremiah Jensen joining me here in the KSL studios. We are powered by KSL Sports. We appreciate you listening to the podcast today. You know, today I wanted to focus on how the West would be won by each Western Conference team. Well, maybe not each, but our top eight, I should say. So that was my idea, and then ESPN just grants us this great thing. They say, no, let's do power rankings. And so I think we need to talk about that, Jeremiah. I think we need to talk about where they put the Jazz in the power rankings. If we think, and what I want to do is we're going to talk, we'll just blow it for you, because every Jazz fan out there probably knows that Utah's ranked number 9th right now overall in power rankings. I think last season, I think most Jazz fans would have been, woo, 9th.
Sure.
This season, going into it this season at least, I think they're like, wait, what, 9th?
Expectations will be a little different. 6th in the West.
Sixth in the West, 9th overall. So we're gonna talk about each team, whether Jeremiah and I agree or disagree, if those teams ahead of the Utah Jazz should be ranked ahead of the Utah Jazz. If we agree with it, then we'll hear from Jay McFarland.
Booyah!
Let's try that again.
Booyah!
Yeah, Jay McFarland not working for KSL News Radio anymore, but he still lives on with us the Jazz Notes podcast. If we disagree,
boo!
That's right, the two guys from the Muppets, boo. So we'll just keep it with that. So first of all, Jeremiah, I'll let you start out first. First of all, we're going to start off with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
All right, enough of that.
Anyway, I like it.
Milwaukee Bucks. Agree or disagree, or booyah or boo?
Agree. I think the Bucks are better on paper right now than the Utah Jazz. Giannis is the MVP. They had the best record in the NBA last year. They bring back pretty much everyone but Malcolm Brogdon. I like what they did in the offseason. They were even able to bring in Wesley Matthews, who's a decent player that they can use off the bench. So I do like the Bucks a little bit more than the Jazz right now.
I think the one thing I would say, and by the way, I agree with you.
Booyah!
So booyah for the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm going to agree with you on that. I think a lot of it, you know what we talked about with Donovan Mitchell, how we say, you know, it's great that they sign these guys. It's super, but really it still comes down to Donovan Mitchell. I think that's what we're going to see with Milwaukee this next season too. I think the guys around him are nice. This is all going to depend on Giannis actually getting better. And I just see that happening. I think the big obstacle we still see from him, Jeremiah, is not being able to shoot from the outside. But I think with him, we see it. And maybe he's not going to be a 40% three-point shooter, but I think he's going to be respectable enough that you're going to have to say, yeah, I better guard him every once in a while from the perimeter. Right now, number two, the Denver Nuggets. Do you booyah or boo the choice of the Denver Nuggets being number two, and actually what they say is the best team in the West.
Boo.
Boo!
Jazz are better than Nuggets. The Jazz were better than the Nuggets last year, in my opinion, even though the Nuggets finished with a better record. The Jazz won the regular season series 3-1. I think Rudy Gobert is a really tough matchup for them, and I still think the Jazz have an edge over the Nuggets right now, especially when you see that the Nuggets, they didn't really add a lot in the offseason. They're basically rolling it back. They did get Jeremy Grant in that trade with Oklahoma City, but I like the Jazz over the Nuggets.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Booyah! Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say booyah. Here's
really?
The reason why. Just because of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't change anything. They were good last year. They're going to be good again this year, I would assume, as long as everyone stays healthy. They add Jeremy Grant, which I think is an upgrade over, who'd they lose, Trey Lyles? And we all know about Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that consistency, that's the reason they put him there. I'm going with the company line with ESPN, even though I don't work for the company of ESPN. But I'll go with the company line for ESPN. I'm going to say Denver, yeah. And it's mainly because of consistency. Now, do I think they make the Western Conference Finals? I think that's a different thought process.
Mm.
I think that they should be the top team right now just because of everyone they're bringing back, and because of that, they probably have one of the best teams in the West right now. And I think Jamal Murray just takes that little step, that maybe that teeny leap that makes him worth the contract that he received this past offseason. So I'm going to say booyah for the Denver Nuggets. Let me start out number three. I'll start out this team. The LA Clippers, I think that's a no-brainer.
Booyah!
Yeah, I think that's a booyah. And I know that they are not going to have consistency. But they have, what, two of the top 10 players in the NBA they're going to be playing for them? I know both of those guys are coming off injuries in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. But you put those two guys out there, and we kind of teased it the last podcast we did a week ago, and that is they are going to be so good perimeter defense that it's going to be hard to score on them. You are going to have to do everything you can to shoot over them or even to just drive past them. It will be interesting to see how their interior defense is, but I think that's why they should be number three. And probably the finals in the West, I would say, as of right now, I'd say the favorite to make the NBA finals.
The Clippers are my number one team in the West right now on paper before we start the season. So, yeah, booyah for the Clippers. I think that they have the two best players, well, the best tandem in the West. We talk about who's got the best tandem, LeBron, AD. I would put Paul George, Kawhi Leonard ahead of them right now because of how good Kawhi Leonard is. It's less about Paul George, more about Kawhi Leonard. We just saw what Kawhi Leonard did. But I like the Clippers' depth. Lou Williams off the bench, that's a pretty nice luxury to have. I think they got some really, really tough players. I mean, you saw it against the Warriors in that first-round series last year, taking the Warriors to six games. That was really impressive, and they did that. They had this toughness about them that I really liked. And then you add two superstars to that core of toughness that they already had, and I really like what the Clippers have.
I like what the Clippers have, too, and so totally agree with you. Booyah on this one. Jeremiah, I'll have you go next. Number four in ESPN's power rankings, the Philadelphia 76ers. Do you boo or do you booyah after the moves they've made in this past offseason?
This is really hard for me because the Sixers had no trouble with the Jazz last year in the regular season. They only lose Jimmy Butler. I like the addition of Al Horford, a nice solid vet to kind of balance out some of the youth that team has. Signing Tobias Harris, although they probably overpaid. I like their lineup. This is a tough one for me. I'm going back and forth on this. I'm going to go boo.
Boo!
But I could be very wrong on this, but I also have worries about the Sixers and some of the dynamic that goes on in their locker room with some immaturity. Embiid and Ben Simmons, and they had a weird thing going on last year, even though they were really good. We'll see how that plays out. So I'm going to say boo, but I'm really on the fence on this one. This one's the toughest one for me.
Really?
Of all these teams.
Okay.
It really was.
I have a tough one, but it's coming a little bit later. I'm going to say
booyah.
I'm going to say booyah, and the reason why is kind of like what we talked about with the LA Clippers. I really like what Philadelphia can do on defense with the players they have. I like what Ben Simmons can do on defense. I like what Joel Embiid can do on defense. I like what Al Horford can do on defense. Yes, I know he's getting older, but he's crafty.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they picked up Josh Richardson in the offseason from the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's not going to bring it to you maybe offensively like a Jimmy Butler, but I like what he can do defensively. I just like what they can be defensively. And so I think they may have to put a lot of their eggs into the basket when it comes on the defensive end, and they'll just kind of have to figure out as the season goes along that they are decent on offense. It will be interesting to see how well they're going to shoot from the outside. I think
that's my biggest concern with that team outside of the chemistry issues.
Totally agree with you on that one. I think if they can bring those chemistry issues together, I think they've got a top-line defense that will make them at least the number two team in the Eastern Conference and a definite NBA Finals contender.
I agree with that.
All right, the Houston Rockets. I will start off with this one. This one was tough for me, and I know you're going to disagree with me on this one, Jeremiah, but I'm going to go,
booyah!
I'm doing it because of James Harden, and I'm also doing it because of what's happened the past couple of seasons. The Jazz just have had a tough time with Houston. I think right now, because of, again, what we talked about earlier with continuity, yes, I know they're losing Chris Paul, and they're bringing in Russell Westbrook. I totally get that, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how all this works out. But right now, you just cannot stop James Harden unless he is tired, and the Jazz have not been able to do that. So maybe it's a slight edge, but I'm still going to give it to the Houston Rockets. I think they should be ahead of the Utah Jazz right now.
Boo. Jazz are better than the Rockets right now.
Oh, man,
Jazz
why?
Jazz are better than the Rockets. Why? Because the Jazz made some changes in the offseason. Mike Conley, a huge upgrade over Ricky Rubio. Bojan Bogdanović has been added. You look at the depth that the Jazz have added. And Mike Conley is going to be much more difficult to guard than Ricky Rubio was. And the reason I think a lot of the reason why Ricky Rubio is no longer with the Jazz is because of his ineffectiveness in the playoffs against the Houston Rockets. And last year, obviously, 2 years ago, he didn't play against them last year. I think it was just pretty obvious that he was a liability for them. And they took care of that liability by adding a point guard that can shoot to three, create his own shot. It's more about Houston, honestly. I think that they're worse without Chris Paul. I think Russell Westbrook, while he's a better, more dynamic player than Chris Paul right now, I don't think he makes the Rockets better. And I guess I need to explain that. I think that he and James Harden are ball-dominant players, and they need to have the ball. Also, Russell Westbrook's one of the most inefficient three-point shooters in the NBA. Chris Paul was a reliable three-point shooter. And I also look at Russell Westbrook and the ineffectiveness he's had in the playoffs. He's lost. He was the best team, but you can argue about Paul George, but he was the leader of a team that went out in the first round the last 3 years, a team that had one of the highest payrolls in the NBA. That didn't go anywhere with him running the ship. Now, how much is he going to defer to James Harden? How does that whole dynamic play out? I know they say they're friends and they want to play together, but it's one thing when you get those two ego-driven, ball-dominant players out on the court. How is that going to work, and how is the rest of the dynamic going to work with that team? I just have too many question marks about that to really buy into the Rockets. I think they might take a step back next year because of this trade. While Chris Paul was declining in his skills, he brought something to the table that was a very tough matchup for the Jazz. Russell Westbrook is quite the opposite for the Jazz. I think the Jazz have handled him pretty well over the years.
And we haven't been able to talk about our feelings about that trade, but I think you just kind of summed it up.
Yep.
The one thing, it was interesting. I read a lot of NBA writers, and they said either it was a wash or maybe a slight advantage for Houston. The one thing that just kept gnawing in the back of my mind, and even though I'm still saying Houston's better than Utah, the one thing that just kept just stuck back there, it was, how are they going to be on defense? Because even though Chris Paul was older than Russell Westbrook, Westbrook gets a lot of steals, but I wouldn't say he's a good defender.
No.
And Chris Paul, even at his age of 34, I think was a really good defender. And so I wonder how they're going to do on defense. And plus, they let Jeff Bezdilet go. He was kind of like their defensive coach. I wonder how good they're going to be on defense. I think they're going to be extremely exciting, or could be exciting on offense as long as they're running. I think they could be inefficient. We'll talk more about where we rank these teams coming up in our next Jazz Notes podcast. Okay, so Houston, Jeremiah says boo, I say booyah. Let's go to number six, the Los Angeles Lakers. Did I start? No, it's your turn to start out, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, I'll go for it anyway.
Yeah, why not?
Either way.
Who cares?
Boo.
Boo.
Jazz are better than the Lakers. Now, do the Jazz have
LeBron?
Anthony Davis?
Anthony?
Do the Jazz have a player better than Anthony Davis? No. Do the Jazz have a better player better than LeBron? No. But after that, they are better. And I'm talking about depth. I'm talking about a well-rounded roster. I'm talking about multiple guys that can score, not just two or three. I like the Jazz a lot better as a team than I like the Lakers as a team. And that, I'm just, so this the Lakers, we saw last year. I mean, everyone's like, oh, the Lakers are going to, they got LeBron, and, you know, this is going to be great, and they got all this young talent, and they can make a run and win a title. They weren't even a playoff team last year. They were bad, and it all blew up, right? It was bad. Everything about that was bad last year. Why is it suddenly going to change when half the team from last year is back? And I'm not talking about bringing back some of these younger guys. Like, you know, we're talking about Rajon Rondo, and then you add DeMarcus Cousins to the mix. This feels very combustible to me. Like, if this doesn't go the way that LeBron wants it to go, he's going to be very impatient, and I just don't see this working out. I think the Lakers could end up being very similar to what they were last year. And just look, Anthony Davis was the best player on the Pelicans. They made the playoffs twice in the whole time he was there. They should have been better than they were. So that's on Anthony Davis, in my opinion. So he coming over here, automatically, all of a sudden you add Anthony Davis, and he's going to be the guy that takes you to the title? No way. I don't think so. I think Anthony Davis is a top five player, but something was wrong in New Orleans. And now he didn't have the support he needed. But all these things I'm saying about the Lakers, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned besides the fact that they got LeBron and AD. That's nice, but what about the rest of it? And that has me worried.
I really can't add much more. I will just say this. Maybe I think I'm cursing myself when I say this, but maybe I just think of what I saw what LeBron did last year, and I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he's not great. I'm just going to say I'm not sure you can just say from now on, put LeBron on a team, and he's going to lead that team to the playoffs, because we saw that that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's great that he has Anthony Davis, but I'm not buying everything else with LeBron. I think we're starting to see him be a little bit human because of the injuries last year and because he couldn't carry a team anymore mm-hmm. like he used to. And then again, like you said, you look at the rest of the guys on their team and they're nice role players, but I don't think that's a championship team.
They don't have enough.
And I just don't think they're better than the Utah Jazz. So I'm going to say boo on that one. All right, number 7, Boston Celtics. I'll start out on this one. This one was a tough one for me. I'm going to say boo. But it's just a slight boo. I actually like that they added Kemba Walker. I think it's bad that they lost Al Horford. They're going to be like the Clippers to me in one sense, and that they're going to be a nightmare when it comes to perimeter defense. But unlike the Clippers and maybe some guys they could possibly put in the middle there, I'm not sure they've got enough. Once you get past those players, I think you could score on the Celtics, which may be okay for them. They may give up baskets close to the basket because you've got Enes Kanter as your starting center. I think this one's close for me, but I'm going to say the Jazz are better than the Boston Celtics coming up next year. I still like Boston. I think they're going to be a little more dangerous than people say. I like the signing of Kemba Walker, but I still think the Jazz are going to be better than the Boston Celtics this next year. Maybe not by much.
I agree. Boo on this one, too. Jazz are better than the Celtics. Gordon Hayward's still a big question mark for me. I'm not sure if he'll ever be the same player he was. Are Brown and Tatum ready to take the leap? Because they're going to have to, because they're going to have to rely on them to be that scoring that they're going to need to balance out the loss of Kyrie Irving. Obviously, Kemba Walker is going to be great. I think that acquisition saved their season, but I also have question marks about losing Al Horford. I think he was more of a leader last year than people really want to give him credit for. Everyone looked at Kyrie as being a leader. Obviously, he wasn't. So Horford deserves a lot of credit for the success that they've had recently, and with him gone, I think they can take a step backwards, actually. I think the Pacers might be better than the Celtics,
to be
honest.
Okay.
We'll have to wait and see, because I'm saying all these variables. Now, if Tatum and Brown blow up and they become, you know, possibly all-star-level players, Tatum has that potential. I love Jason Tatum, but he was very inefficient. If that happens, we're having a different conversation, but I'm skeptical. Because of that skepticism and the loss of Horford and my doubts with Hayward, I can't put them ahead of the Jazz. No way.
All right, the last team, and this will go to you, Jeremiah. And this one, I think for me, is a strong boo, but I want to hear from you. The Portland Trail Blazers, one spot ahead of the Utah Jazz in ESPN's power rankings.
Not a strong boo, but a boo.
Boo!
Okay, why not a strong boo? I have a strong boo just because of their trade with Miami and who they got in return, and that they aren't going to have Jusuf Nurkić for a while. There are some things I like about Portland. We'll talk about that in the next podcast, but I'm just not buying that they're better than the Utah Jazz right now. I know they were better last season, but coming up this season, I'm just not buying it.
No, I think the Jazz did enough to move past Portland, but I still have so much respect for Damian Lillard, one of the best players in the league, one of the top 10 players in the league. CJ McCollum is terrific, and eventually Nurkić is going to be back. I think he brings a lot to the table for them, so I don't think they're going to have to rely on Hassan Whiteside as much once he gets back. But I don't think they have enough either. I don't think they have quite enough depth to compete with somebody like Utah in a seven-game series. The Blazers beat the Nuggets last year in seven games. I mean, they made the Western Conference Finals, so I have to give them some respect. So it's not a strong boo for me, but I do think the Jazz made enough upgrades this year to pass the Blazers in the standings.
I like Lillard and McCollum, too. I like what they're going to possibly do on offense this year. I think they – and I like some of the guys they signed, because some of the guys they did sign, like an Anthony Tolliver, can actually shoot from the outside, which is going to be good for them at certain spots. But the one thing that I wonder about is now I wonder about their defense. They were good last year. I think they're going to go from good to average or below average when it comes to defense, and that's why I think that the Utah Jazz are going to be better than the Portland Trail Blazers. Of course, I'm going to say that. I'm going to make Damian Lillard mad, and now he's just going to go off and score 50 points a night against the Utah Jazz.
All he needs is more motivation.
No, he doesn't need that. Well, he does need that if he's going to be great. And I like Damian Lillard, too. All right, last thing we want to say on this edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. Jazz look like they're working to sign French player William Howard, trying to buy him out of his contract with his French team. You like the signing? The Jazz were supposedly in it for wing depth. Here's a guy who plays in the French League. He is French. He did play high school basketball in the United States. I guess I just didn't anticipate them going overseas to look for wing depth. I thought maybe they would try and find someone here locally. But this is a guy that could really provide maybe not a punch, but you know, on any given night, he's going to provide you defense and some athleticism, too.
You never know. You might have to rely on one of these guys occasionally. And Mie Oni, I love Mie. I've been impressed with him, what he did in the Summer League. Now, again, you're not going to see a lot of him. He's going to play some time with the G League team. And who knows what they're going to do with Howard. But it's just about depth, right? You're bringing in these players. Howard's intriguing to me, watching some clips of him. 6'8". It looks like he can play a little bit of point guard. I mean, he's just a dynamic player. Obviously, you know, he's not a big name in Europe, and he only averaged 9 points. But there's some potential there, so... Interesting signings and interesting moves the Jazz have made at the back end of their roster.
And I will also say, when you think about Howard right now, this may be for this season, but I think maybe they're looking to the future, too.
Yep.
They're looking at their wing depth right now, and they're like, maybe we can get a guy like this to come in and help us now. He's only 25. You know, give him like 2 or 3 years. Joe's going to get a little bit older. You know, you don't know what's going to happen to Bojan Bogdanović in another 2 to 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, maybe you have a guy that just kind of slides in there and can provide that wing depth or provide a potential starter or even just a rotation player in the next couple of years. All right, that's going to do it here for the Jazz Notes podcast. We thank you for listening to us. We'll be back later this week with another podcast, How the West Will Be Won. That's all coming up soon on the Jazz Notes podcast, powered by KSL.